Workday Afternoon Replay from Money FM 89.3. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Market View Wrap. It is Friday afternoon after all. I'm Clarissa Montero with my co-host JP Ong. And today we are joined by Jeff Howie, strategic market analyst from the SGX. No, I'm not going to make any snarky comments about you ditching us for the last 2 weeks, Jeff.
Apologies. It's great to be back.
It is great to be back. And interestingly enough, the 2 weeks that you weren't with us, the markets really were turning against us, but they seem to have turned back this week. Maybe they knew you were going to be on the show.
That's possible also. And what I will say for the Straits Times Index is, despite the wobbliness, it seems that they've drawn, they've decided that the line they won't cross is 3,200. Mm. And although we're seeing it start to lose ground today, they're swinging from gains to losses again. It's still at 3,218. And by my accounts, that's ample room for it to actually buffer itself from falling below that. And also testament to the fact that you're seeing more sensibility in sort of trying to fight back against all of this market uncertainty that we've seen hit most markets across Asia for the most part this week.
Yep.
Yeah, we've actually gained exactly 100 points since the end of May. Mm-hmm. That's a good 3% on the STI move. It brings the year to date return to around 7.2%, including dividends. And I think there has been a clear driver this week. It's been real estate stocks and the manufacturing plays that we have in the STI. The leader so far this month has been CDL, City Developments, and that's an interesting story too, because it's 15% move. So far this month for the first nine sessions, it's coincided with the launch of a takeover offer for Millennium and Cotforn Hotels on
which
the LSE.
Yes, that is true. And mind you, they have tried to do a full takeover of Millennium and Cotforn before, and they were rebuffed. And now they've come back and said, you know, we really want to do this. We're sweetening the deal, raising the price. And I think markets are liking this exuberance or confidence that's coming from CDL, and no surprise that they're topping. And mind you, property developers are also benefiting from this growing expectation that we might see a rate cut from the Federal Reserve, which could also lower borrowing costs and also mortgage rates down the line, and could actually provide a bit of a boost for property developers.
That's been the highlight of the month. That talk was the Tuesday night last week, but just before the public holiday, and it was Jerome Powell's opening remarks at the Monetary Policy Strategy Conference in Chicago, and it was just 50 words exactly that he that dedicated to an outlook. And it was along the lines of uncertainty on how trade negotiations will be resolved. The Fed is closely monitoring the implications of it on the U.S. economic outlook, and the Fed will act to sustain the expansion. And that was it.
That's like a tweet, basically. 50 words.
Yeah, but that is a tweet that actually gave people a lot of confidence.
Yeah, but I do also wonder if people might be jumping the gun once again. I think that's the skeptical question I've been asking many of our guests over the last week. Are markets maybe just getting ahead of themselves? Because we saw that happen also in the first quarter. Everyone and their mother was basically under the belief that we would see a trade deal actually manifest. And then that was, and of course, we saw that kind of blown to smithereens in May. So are markets maybe just reading a little bit too much into Powell's comments at the moment? There is credence. We are seeing signs of the economy in the U.S. starting to slow down.
Right.
More of these trade tensions hitting economies, including Singapore's in recent months also. It's still very possible, but until we actually see stronger language, I don't know if markets might be, again, getting ahead of themselves. What do you think, Jeff?
Well, I mean, if you're looking at point-by-point navigation through this, the next events are next week, the Tuesday night, where you have obviously the Fed meeting, and I really enjoy watching the press conferences after now, because that's part of the Fed policy into.
It's almost like the post-fight conference at a heavyweight boxing match.
It's really useful because it's all televised, and there's usually five or six good questions, and you find out the details that can help you with that analysis, JP. If you're thinking things are getting ahead of themselves, or you want to look at a little bit more into the primary drivers into their mindset, you get more clues. For instance, the inflation factor has been brought up quite a bit in the Fed Reserve recently, and they've called it transient factors. And you've been there's been granularity too on that transient factors. It's the things we know all about, the very cheap clothing retailers, and of course consumer electronics, the competition in consumer electronics, mm-hmm. keeping generally prices down. Hence, if there's a little bit more color on that in terms of how they might tweak their inflation readings with the PCE mm-hmm. and so forth, that could be interesting. And that could, as you say, a little bit of a catalyst for new perspective on Fed outlook.
A more tangible indicator, that is, as to where they might actually move also. Right. Mind you, oil prices have also been kind of, a bit wobbly, which again plays a big factor in inflation anywhere mm-hmm. in the world. And as long as it stays uncertain, there could be a need to maybe ask for a bit of a monetary policy nudge, for lack of a better term.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Now, JP, you've been talking about a couple of things. And yesterday we brought up the fact that there's more companies on the watch list now than there has been in the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask Jeff,
yeah.
why is that? Why are there so many people misbehaving?
No, I think simply put, Singapore back in 2017 was amongst the strongest advanced economies in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And this year you've seen, you know, where we had 3.5% growth in 2017, you've mm-hmm. seen growth forecasts cut to around 1.5%.
Yep.
So I always, from this perspective, it's generally the economic cycle that mm-hmm. is a key driver to a lot of, I guess, inactivity of businesses and obviously possibly finding themselves on the suspension list as well. Especially here, we are so reliant on global trade. Mm-hmm. As I've always said, we're a very small part. We're 0.4% of the world's economy, but we're 1.4% of the world's global trade. We really have a very strong reliance on trade. And when you have the uncertainty regarding global trade, it does affect the mindset of businesses and in terms of how they are running their capital management, how prudent they're being, and so forth, that they can be a little bit more risk averse and hence possibly miss some growth opportunities
sure.
due to the uncertain outlook. So I pretty much pin that, the suspensions and so forth to part of the economic cycle playing out.
And I guess when you bring up the word misbehave, I mean, it might imply that there's malice. I don't think there's any malice for
most of them, unless
we find more details or more evidence.
Well,
we can't really say that to be for certain. I think one of the things, too, that's really making it challenging for folks is this is the highest number or the biggest number of companies we've seen on the watch list in 3 years. And mm-hmm. what's really happened in the last 3 years also is we've seen trade tensions start to rise.
Right.
We've also seen monetary policy tightening across many of these major economies. So when you see borrowing costs start to go up, it makes it trickier to start managing your capital for some of these companies. And maybe some of them are actually just finding the going's just a little bit more, a bit wobbly. It's a little tough to actually reorient yourself to that new order. So now that there is the hope that maybe monetary policy and these rates start to come down or ease mm-hmm. off. Again, that's another thing they're going to have to adjust to. It might make things a little easier, smoother for them in the future, but definitely a lot of them have been, I wouldn't be surprised if many a CFO actually comes out and says, you know, these last 3 years have been very challenging in terms of managing and yeah. making sure our capital is deployed efficiently.
Well, sure. we've seen the other side of it, just as we were saying a few minutes ago. Remember City Developments, its takeover offer of Millennium Copthorne is in line with its focus on boosting its recurring income and enhancing underperforming assets. So that's another mm-hmm. part of this economic cycle playing out too.
Okay. Now, something that's been very interesting to me, and maybe you can answer me this, because, you know, they always say, whatever the market's doing, there's always money to be made, right? And we've seen over the last several weeks a flight to safe havens, whether it was currency, whether it was gold, whether it was bonds. So let's not talk about safe havens. Let's talk about the other thing. Where's the money? Where's the money to be made? Where's the higher risk, high yield investments? Where's the money to be made?
Well, if you're looking at the flows of money, actually, I mean, it is going towards what's you know, one thing that many fund managers are starting to say more and more of right now is boring
mm-hmm.
and defensive.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that they're flocking to us. But again, because of the flight to safe havens and a lot of this, the momentum, I guess, is going towards these particular spaces. But we talk about safe havens. It's very interesting. I came across this article in Reuters right now where they polled a number of these fund managers as to what they look at as safe havens.
Mm-hmm.
And apart from gold, yen, Anne Frank, U.S. Treasuries. Mm. There are a number of other sectors. There are fund managers in China that are starting to favor Chinese equities, and one sector in particular, consumer staple stocks.
Okay.
And the reason they're looking at consumer staples is they said, you know what, despite what's happening right now, the middle class in China is growing. It's a 450 million sized middle class there that's growing, and they continue to consume. So they're going to be looking for baby formula. They're going to be looking for foodstuffs. They're going to be looking for clothing. A lot of these staples that people can't get away from, and they're saying this is actually going to be very interesting, that despite all of that, maybe if you go into the core of the Chinese economy and look for these consumer staples, you will benefit. And there's a number of other fund managers I'm looking at right now in this article in Reuters, and there's some of them are actually looking at local currency bonds in Thailand that actually might be rather that might prove a good defensive hedge. There, some of them continue to highlight Singaporean REITs, and telcos are also starting to be highlighted as a potential hybrid safe haven for many of these stocks. And I, you know, it'd be very interesting to sit down with them and actually ask them why they think that that case. But yeah, there are safe havens to be had, and maybe some of these sectors will actually prove to benefit or prove to have some yields just because a lot of funds are starting to give them more attention.
So you're saying they're defensive investments, but there's still money to be made, which is my question.
Well,
where's the money to be made?
I mean, just as JP was saying, you remember in May, there was less money to be made. STI declined 7% on a total return basis. During that month, we had the three sectors that saw the most net institutional inflow were the defensive, the REITs, the telecommunications, and the consumer staples. So there, and for two of those sectors, they actually generated marginal gains. REITs was up between 0.5% and 1%, and then telco stocks were up around 1 to 2%. So there was rotation into some of these stocks that have more, some of which have a lot more, I guess, defensive characteristics than,
and also
than
very secure dividends. That's kind of the name of the game. If you're a telco or a utility, you need to be able to have a defense, a defendable and rather reliable dividend that you can promise. And so far, they've been showing that. In fact, when you speak to some of these analysts who cover telcos, they actually think that Singaporean telcos, which weren't looking so sure last year, they're starting to show signs of a turnaround, especially with the likes of Singtel, where they're saying that a lot of these subsidiaries that have been very challenged in Australia and India, they're starting to show signs of turning around, and you might want to catch the wave before as it comes
up. I was
going to
ask you, how's Singtel doing today?
Yeah, well, Singtel today is, there's a bit of profit taking hitting Singtel, but keep in mind that despite seeing market swing between gains and losses this whole week, Singtel had been pretty much strong. I think Friday is just, this is just a day where you're seeing good old fashioned profit taking.
Well, that's because
the country's largest telco was the star performer. But again, you see, it was a pocket of of gains and pocket a pocket where you could make money. And it is being seen as a possible area where you can actually make some money and make some profit because it's a safe haven, or being touted more and more as a safe haven.
And it's doubled the returns of the STI this year. It's up 14.3% versus the STI up 7.2%. So it's performed well, and it's up in line with the STI this week, up a little over 1%.
Right. Okay. Well, so the markets this week, or STI this week, gave a lot of relief to some very tense people in previous weeks. Do we see more relief for them in the week to come?
Well, I don't know if you could say it was a consistent relief, because the it was dancing a bit.
There was dancing.
There was some dancing to be done, and a lot of a couple of nail biting moments here and there. But overall, they did prove that they steadied the ship, and I think it's going to be the same case. I think what's going to be important now is that don't be surprised if you're if you see it start to swing between gains and losses within tight trading ranges, because this is now a matter of soul searching and a matter of preparing for the G20 summit, which is coming at the end of the month, and that's where you're going to get a lot of clues, apart from the Federal Reserve's a meeting sometime next week. So while that's happening, you're going to see markets sort of treading water. I think the one thing that you can take comfort in with regards to Singapore's markets are these swings that you're seeing in China, in Japan, a lot more pronounced. When markets were down maybe 1% in Shanghai, or 1-2%, Singapore was down only about 0.15%, 0.2%. So it's not as drastic a swing, but you're going to see, don't read into the day-to-days, I believe, until we get to these two hallmark moments in the month of June.
So it's a gentler dance, you're saying?
It's going to be a gentler dance, but a lot of steps. It's going to be a lot of steps.
And a lot of aspects too. I mean, you outside the STI, of course, you've got other key sectors that are subject to a few of these intra-week swings, such as the oil and gas and fuel stocks, for instance. Obviously, they've been firmer this week. Rex International, I know it's a catalyst stock. It's outside the top 300 by market cap, but it is typically within our top 50.
They've had a lot of tension this year also. There are certain days where Rex was actually among the top 10 traded stocks on the entire SGX.
She's, amazing. And then there's Chris Energy as well, which is popular. It's also an oil and gas explorer and producer, and that's up around 3% this week.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so final word, Jeff. Next week, pretty much dancing around 3,200.
Well, I gave my prognosis.
You know what? I think you're absolutely right, JP. And that's cool. And I think that will just be a little bit of gentle dancing for everyone.
And just, I guess, at the end of it, just relax.
Yeah.
It's going to take something catastrophic again.
Don't even put that out there the universe. What's wrong with you?
I have to. Anything is possible in this universe. But I don't think, I think the takeaway is don't read too much into the day-to-day until you get to A, the Federal Reserve's policy meeting and the G20 summit. So, yeah, don't read too much into some of these swings. It's going to be a bit bumpy, but overall, the car has been steady.
Yeah, all right. We will have you next week, Jeff.
Thank you. Look forward to it.
All right. This has been Market View Wrap with JP Ong. I'm Clarissa Montero, and of course, joined this week by Jeff Howie, strategic market analyst from SGX. Here on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.